Welcome, anime enthusiasts, to the Anime Raiders and Debaters podcast. Join us as we dive into the vibrant world of anime, where every frame is a canvas and every character a story waiting to be told. In this podcast, we'll explore the vast landscapes of different anime genres, dissecting the elements that make them beloved by fans around the globe. Get ready for lively discussions, passionate debates, and insights that will deepen your appreciation for the art of Japanese animation. Whether you're a seasoned otaku or just dipping your toes into this captivating universe, the Anime Raiders and Debaters podcast is your go-to destination for all things anime. So grab your favorite snack, settle into your comfiest spot, and join us as we embark on this anime-filled journey together. We're your hosts, Brayden and Nicholas, and this is the Anime Raiders and Debaters podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our anime podcast. Today, we're going to be ranking every main side character. So, the first person on our list is going to be Sasuke from Naruto. I really hope you know about him. So first, my first impressions for OG Naruto, he's great. It was first introduced the Sharingan, and we didn't really know much about the Mangekyo and all that stuff, which made it a little bit more elusive about Obito, but we're talking about Sasuke. So I really liked him as a character because he played an incredible foil to Naruto, being emo and edgy and like powerful, and Naruto is this goofy kid that doesn't know anything. Makes a good foil to him. Yeah, basically knows no jutsus. Makes a good foil, and overall is just a great character.
There's nothing much else to talk about him. In terms of OG Naruto, great character. As a side character, like, would you say S?
Well, we're not done.
Oh?
We forgot to talk about Naruto Shippuden. In Naruto Shippuden, he's not really a rival or a foil anymore. He's just this emo kid who's searching for power. He goes to a snake and then kills the snake, and now he's powerful? His whole Shippuden storyline is kind of bad. And it's just, he's just strange.
There's nothing much to mention about him at that point.
Yeah, but at the end, I do like his Rinnegan. It looks very cool. And his Sharingan abilities are pretty good too, but he didn't really use any of his Rinnegan abilities. Because when, let's say, Naruto was launching at him with a Tailed Beast Rasen Shuriken, he could have used the Ashura Path or Almighty Push to push that way, but no, he just...
There were a lot of things he could have done. For example, my favorite thing to point out is he had this Chidori, which is literally his signature attack, his strongest attack that can cut through just about anything and instantly kill a person if they're hit with it. So, just theoretically speaking, using his teleportation abilities, which he uses about how many times in practical ways, Brayden?
Probably like a million.
Okay. Excluding the one combat situation where it could actually be useful. Think about it. If you use the Chidori plus teleportation, he's right behind you. You'd have no time to react. Boom, you're dead. Chidori right through your heart. You're gone.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you do got a point there. And Sasuke in Boruto is even worse. He is useless. Especially when he got his Rinnegan taken out of his eyes by Borushiki? It was pretty weird, but
I mean, he still has his Sharingan, which has one of the most powerful attacks in Naruto just itself. What was it called again?
Amaterasu.
Amaterasu. Which a lot of you will probably dismiss as weak again because, you know, it's not used a lot. But if it hits a person, they're dead, basically. It's like, if it gets on you, it will not stop if he keeps feeding it chakra.
Yes, but in Boruto, Sasuke is just not useful. I mean, if he uses Amaterasu, yeah, if he hits it, but Momoshiki with his little hand Rinnegan is gonna absorb it. And Sasuke is useless. It's very sad to see, but Naruto was miles ahead of him. And Boruto is even more miles ahead of him, like a million miles ahead of him, to be exact.
It would probably have been better if he just got killed off, like, I don't know, some noble sacrifice.
Yeah, that would have probably been better.
What I really would have liked to see is, like, Sasuke covering himself with black flames and destroying an enemy while destroying himself at the same time.
Yeah, that would have been better and would have been really sick, but...
It would have been awesome.
Yeah, but, from all that, I'm going to rate Sasuke an A tier.
A tier, very good in regular Naruto, pretty good in Shippuden, and not good at all in Boruto.
Yes, indeed. And to be completely honest with you, he really isn't a side character in Naruto Shippuden. He's kind of an antagonist, but that's besides the point. What we're going to do next is going to be the GOAT himself, Zoro.
Zoro. One of the first characters to join the crew, you know, after Nami. Wait, no. Did he come before or after?
They came before. Basically at the same time.
He came before Nami, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, I specialize here in One Piece, so I say he's amazing. A sharp contrast in power and indifference, and he has this... It's like a sense of honor, I would say. If you look at the Alabasta arc, and while he's fighting the dude with the dice fruit, you'll understand what I'm talking about. He holds himself in high regard and wants to be the strongest swordsman.
Yes, also...
He even literally gets scarred by his greatest enemy just for honor.
Yes, indeed. Now, I'd like to also point out a couple of situations. Number one was... It was just this random point in old One Piece... But I see it all over YouTube shorts. And that's... Well, they're at the beach. Zoro has 5 rocks on his back doing push-ups. And Sanji is rubbing Nami's back. Sanji is not even close to the honor of Zoro. He might be somewhat close to the power of Zoro. Not the honor.
Sanji... For lack of a better word, he's a simp.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the girl got the better of him. But what I will say is that Sanji is close to the power of Zoro. But we're talking about Zoro, not Sanji.
Sanji's okay, not really a side character. Back to Zoro, his swords are awesome. He grows, and he keeps... Didn't he always keep, like, what was it? It wasn't Enma. Which sword did he always keep?
Kitetsu.
Kitetsu. From his childhood friend who fell down the stairs and died. So he kept her promise. He became the strongest sword. He's becoming the strongest swordsman. Although he's nowhere near Mihawk right now. He's certainly going to be.
Yes, indeed. Now... I would like to mention the nothing happened moment. That moment is the best moment in One Piece. I'm going to say it. It's better than Gear 5.
He took all the pain, all of everything that happened to Luffy, just so that Luffy could survive. And he was going to die too. Like, if he was any more burned out before he took all of that, he would definitely have died.
Yeah, but Zoro ate that like a Wendy's 4-for-4 combo.
And he did faint, but Like, it was nothing. He got back up very quick.
Very quick. Now, if that was Sanji in his place, Sanji would have been killed over dead.
You would just instantly have died.
And if it was Usopp, ha, just kidding, Usopp would not have done it.
Usopp would have revived Luffy. Let's be honest. God D Usopp.
That's a good point. Yeah, we gotta respect the title. But Zoro with Konkorasaki is the best thing ever. I can just imagine Zoro's overwhelming willpower. Oh, speaking of which, his willpower is off the charts.
Probably a little below Luffy, but still amazing.
Yes, and also, I can just imagine Zoro going into Marineford 2. That's what I'm going to call it. It's probably not what it's going to be called, but if Luffy gets captured, Zoro is just going to be launching Konkorasaki there, everywhere. He's going to be...
Zoro might not be the strongest, but he certainly is one of the better and still one of the best side characters.
Yeah, and he's going to be 1v1ing Akainu.
Someday.
Oh, that's going to be a good fight. We actually have to see Shanks versus Akainu first, though, but Zoro can come after.
I mean, yeah, it's just amazing. One Piece is a huge world, and it's great to see some of the best characters come out and just train, be stronger, and show everything that they have. It's awesome. I love it.
It's cool.
That's why I got hooked on One Piece.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you, but we're going to move on to a less cool side character, Vegeta. Still cool, though. Now, Vegeta.
I love Vegeta.
Vegeta, when he first got introduced, no one liked him. Zero people liked him. If you liked him, you were kind of weird.
It was strange. He wasn't actually a side character at first. He was just a straight-up villain for, let's say, a single arc.
Yeah. But when McDonald's forehead finally got on Goku's side, it ended up being the right choice because they trained together and save each other's butts. When they were fighting Frieza, every single time, they were like acting like it was child's play. It was so funny.
Yes, I love Vegeta. Vegeta is an awesome character, and in one of the lesser-rated arcs, Vegeta gave up his life to try to defeat Boo and saved Goku, literally everyone on Earth, in the process. Although he didn't actually end up saving everybody, and Goku had to do it again.
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll mention that later.
Also, one of the less good moments from Vegeta is when he is in a cave, pounding on a rock, saying, "I want to be a Super Saiyan." That was pathetic.
He's gonna figure it out.
That was kind of pathetic. Apparently, at least what he said, is that actually allowed him to get Super Saiyan. Which makes no sense, but...
He's the Prince of all Saiyans. He's gotta have something.
Yeah, that is true. He's got to have some pride.
Technically, he's actually the king of all Saiyans, because, I mean...
You're right. Oh.
He has a wife, so he's a king.
Huh? Well, that's a good point, but... Anyway.
He doesn't act like it. One thing we have to mention about Vegeta is Vegeta's tendency to never win. Name a single time Vegeta actually... like, on a one-on-one, won anybody besides, like, a side character. You can't because it never happened. Vegeta, there's a meme. It's been ever since, like, the Frieza saga. Here's how it goes. Some of the, like, side characters go up and try to defeat the enemy. They don't work. All right? Then they send Vegeta. Vegeta dies. Then Goku shows up and beats him up.
Yeah, that That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. But
one thing that's cooler than Ultra Instinct is Ultra Ego.
Ultra Ego.
Ultra Ego.
So and Ultra Instinct.
They're awesome.
Except Ultra Ego is cooler. And actually, it's debatable, but Ultra Ego, in my opinion, is more powerful. Think about it.
There's a thing. Ultra Ego isn't written properly. We don't really know what it does.
Well,
like it's said that it makes you stronger if you get hit, but we never see any actual evidence of that.
Yeah, we don't. But I will say Ultra Ego is more powerful than Ultra Instinct, in my opinion. You want to know how I know that? Because if Vegeta is on the same power level as TUI Goku, that would mean that UE Vegeta is more powerful than UI Goku. That would mean that Ultra Ego is more powerful.
It doesn't make sense, but at the same time,
I have good reasoning.
It makes sense and it doesn't. When you think about it, it's perfectly sound. But it doesn't seem right because, in Super, literally everything about Dragon Ball falls apart. You thought the only divine beings were, like, the Kais and, like, South Kai, King Kai. Yeah, you thought those were the only dudes? Yeah, nah. We got Destroyers, which never appeared before. Okay? Makes no sense. Also, I have a quick question. While we're on the topic of the Destroyers, why does Beerus have to use so much energy to destroy a single planet when, first form Frieza could do it super easily?
Yeah, I don't know. But speaking of Frieza, actually,
I'm also confused, how does it work that first form Frieza could easily destroy a regular planet, but final form Frieza could not destroy Namek with a single blow?
I don't know. But
Namek may be dense, but he's not that dense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, point.
Okay, back to Vegeta.
Yeah. So what I think about this McDonald's head, I mean, he's all right.
He's got the worst hairstyle.
Yeah.
Well, except maybe Kid Gohan.
Kid Gohan's was way better.
Bulka.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you might actually be right about that.
There's only one worse haircut. That is Bulka Gohan.
And Frieza, because he didn't have her.
Yeah, but guess who's also bald?
Who?
Krillin and Tien.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Well, you know what? Frieza's a alien. They're humans. So, yes. But from what we talked about, I will rate Vegeta an A-.
He got super bad and super... It's another Sasuke situation.
Yeah. It is.
Old Vegeta was epic.
New Vegeta is trash.
Yep.
But anyway, we should probably move on to... Jujutsu Kaisen.
Jujutsu Kaisen is a very interesting one. Because now, you could make arguments for a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. And we're going to go with Gojo simply because he has more to talk about. He's more interesting and I like him.
And didn't he have a lot to do with Yuji and Sukuna? He was there a lot.
No, he was the reason why Itadori's still alive.
Oh yeah, he saved him, right? Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, but so, my first impressions of Gojo, and my final impressions of Gojo, he is awesome. He's got great hair, same as Kakashi. I love Kakashi. I'm gonna like Gojo. He has got cool eyes. Guess who else has cool eyes? Kakashi.
Yeah, alright.
And his blindfold and his outfits are amazing. I just love everything about this character. And he's super powerful. And he's from the Gojo clan. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, all right. I understand all of that. Also, is it just me, or does Gojo's eyes kind of look like Tensegon?
They actually
look exactly the same.
No, and their powers are similar too. Kind of similar, but yeah, we're. I don't want to go down that line.
I don't either.
Yeah. So what I also something about Gojo that I think is really cool is his abilities. So reversal red, lapse blue, maximum output blue, holo purple, and his domain. I'll talk a little more about his domain later. But for I think
we should probably go over the most famous three first. Let's begin with lapse blue. We should go over that.
Lapse blue is obviously it's blue, and it's a technique where he basically pulls you forward and can beat you up really bad. He can like do whatever he wants.
There are a lot of different versions of it, but it mainly just allows him to either pull or bring you somewhere using this blue orb.
Yes. And what I think is really cool about Gojo is if he just does a lapse blue and then does a reversal red, you just come towards and go push back. I think that'd be a funny combo to see. But moving on to the other variation of blue. Lapse blue.
Red.
Oh. Yes.
Reversal. Red is the exact opposite of blue. It's an explosion.
That pushes you back. And I actually like reversal red slightly more simply because the red looks cooler. And also just because who doesn't like explosions, especially explosions that are in a little ball? I mean,
lapse blue and reversal red appear very differently. Often, sometimes they are tossed, sometimes they're just in his hand. Although the most famous version of reversal red is when Gojo went upside down and exploded.
I mean, yeah, that's very famous. But also, reversal red resembles a little bit of Hakai. A dragon.
Okay. I think we should go on to Holo Purple before we get back into that DBZ argument.
Yeah, I think we should move on to Holo Purple because Holo Purple is the most unique one because instead of just creating a purple orb, they actually use the color wheel and make him combine the reversal red and lapse or maximum output blue.
They are not.
And put them together.
Holo Purple is neither lapse blue or reversal red. It incinerates anything that touches it.
But yeah.
Only what touches it.
Yeah, also, something.
It's like a laser beam.
Something that. Yeah, exactly. It's kind. Yeah, it's like a laser beam, except it's not a beam, it's a ball.
It's strong. And, of course, you have to put blue and red together. There's some few different versions, for example, like in the game Jujutsu Kaisen, there is a holo nuke, regular holo purple, and another famous version is imaginary technique purple, which I don't know too much about. I don't know how it works, whether it's just an instant holo purple. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, what I'll say about holo purple is that it's very powerful, obviously. I mean, it wasn't gonna be weak. But it's kind of weird. Like, I know it became, like, bigger. It's kind of weird how he creates it. Well, obviously, he combines it, like, it's just a little bit strange, but the coolness factor makes up for it completely. And now, I'm going to talk a little bit about his domain expansion.
Infinite Void.
Now, at first glance, it's really, really cool. It's the best domain besides Malevolent Shrine from Sukuna. It's super powerful, and it's just all around very
I've seen good. A bit about it. I'll explain it. You probably don't know how it works. I'm guessing. The domain expansion. Infinite Void works just like any other domain expansion. It creates a barrier around you to keep the domain in. And anyone who's not in direct contact with the user when it activates will receive an infinite amount of information based on the first thing they see. For example, if I put an apple in front of you while the domain was just starting, you would be stuck on the letter A, just thinking about what an apple was. And your brain would possibly be damaged permanently.
Yeah, now that is very, very powerful. Very cool, too.
Very broken.
Yeah, it seems a little bit too broken, but I digress. So, from all those, I'm rating Gojo an S tier. I mean, what else was I going to rate him?
Gojo's S tier.
Not a percent.
I mean, of course, if the community wasn't so bad, we'd rate regular Jujutsu Kaisen incredibly high.
Hey, it's not that bad.
Dude, have you seen the TikToks?
Yeah, that's true, yes.
I'm sorry, all of you, but, like, it's not... Some of them are really good. Some of them are terrible. I wish I never saw them.
Well, you didn't have to do it that dirty.
Perfectly honest.
Okay. We're going to move on to Bleach. So, Bleach is a very good liquid that will allow you... No, I'm just kidding. We'll be talking about the side character, Yuryu. I don't know if we pronounced that right, but...
I probably.
Yuryu. So, they're obviously from the Quincy race, and what I... My first impressions on this character, they're very weird. Obviously, they're specialized in hospital stuff. And they're kind of weird. I don't really know, like, what to say about them.
We'll leave this up to you guys. Neither of us have really watched Bleach, so... It's better we leave this probably unrated. I don't know much about him, and I haven't taken a serious look at the wiki either.
Yes, but moving on to something we do know. It's going to be Hunter x Hunter. Take it away.
Hunter x Hunter. Killua Zoldyck. The son of an assassin family and the wielder of a Nen ability that creates lightning. With his famous technique of Godspeed. I'll get on to that a little later. Killua Zoldyck was an incredibly good side character for the start of Hunter x Hunter. His ability has been coming out for a long time, so we had the original, like, Nen powers. He could make himself a little stronger, you know, protect himself from other Nen, stuff like that. Really common stuff. Enjoy his character. He was, like, just another weird soul, just like Gon. A perfect complement and a perfect side character.
Also, was, kind of another child Kakashi and Gojo, but anyway.
Yeah, I can see the resemblance. Anyway, his powers can... I haven't really seen much of the newer chapters and stuff, so I'll tell you what I know. What I know, his... basically mode called Godspeed takes a bunch of Nen and allows him to move at supersonic speeds by covering himself in lightning, but it has a time limit. That's pretty much all I know about his powers besides he can create lightning. It's pretty interesting. And he's also incredibly strong, might I add. So is Gon. About every hunter. Literally, he has a pair of yo-yos that probably weigh like 50 pounds each. He can swing those things around really easily.
Yeah, now, in my personal opinion about Killua, he reminds me of another Gojo, as I stated earlier. I like him. His character design's great. I mean, yeah. I like his lightning abilities. I like really any lightning abilities.
Because Kakashi has Chidori.
I don't know what I just said. I'm pretty sure something took over my body, but...
Yeah, no, you were just possessed.
Yeah, but I like Killua. He's cool.
S or high A tier? Which one?
High A. We can't give him an S, man.
How about we say A plus or A plus plus?
You're putting him above Sasuke?
Keep in mind, we're talking about Shippuden and Boruto Sasuke.
Yeah. So A plus. Yeah. That sounds good.
A plus.
Alrighty. Now on to one. My Hero Academia. Now, what my first impressions for Bakugo, because we're talking about Todoroki and Bakugo, because they're kind of both side characters, but Bakugo, his character design is pretty good. His abilities, if I'm remembering correctly...
It's an explosion.
Okay,
sweat can make explosions.
Yeah. It's pretty basic. It's not that great.
However, he does actually manage to use it in a few creative ways.
Yeah, he's always angry, which is kind of interesting, and...
I mean, it can make things interesting every once in a while, yep, but it does kind of get old.
It does get old, but actually that creates a great foil for Deku, because Deku's the scared guy, and Bakugo's the angry guy. Fight
literally anybody as long as he has his quirk.
Exactly. And... Now for Todoroki, I like Todoroki. His abilities,
pretty useful quirk.
Yeah, I love it. That's my favorite quirk in the whole show.
My favorite quirk is the disintegration one, but you know.
Oh yeah, that's a good one too. But for Todoroki, he's pretty interesting. His character design's great. His abilities obviously half hot, half cold.
Fire, his backstory is ice. Awesome.
His backstory. Woo. Yeah. His backstory is great.
We won't go into great detail about it, but you should learn it if you like My Hero Academia.
Yeah. Obviously, fire and ice, very cool combination. I mean, who wouldn't want to see a Akainu and Okiji?
Ooh.
Yeah. Basically anything with fire and ice. Or magma and ice.
That's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, that would be sick. How about Lunarian with ice fruit? Ooh.
Okay. Let's for a quick second. Let's not get too hasty. Let's get back to My Hero Academia. The only issue I really have with him and his quirk, specifically his quirk, is that he can only create ice and fire from those specific sides of him.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of a problem.
I really like that. I would prefer it if you could just create it from either side.
Yeah, there was zero point of adding that, actually.
It's a kind of cool design choice, but it kind of ruins the flexibility from the fruit. Because if you go to one side,
the quirk,
you're stuck with this. If you go to the other side, you know exactly what to expect.
Yeah, but relatively good side characters. So, yeah, that's pretty much all we have for My Hero Academia. Next...
Hold on. We forgot to rate them.
Oh, yes, indeed. Now,
I think they're pretty good by themselves.
Yeah.
I think an A tier.
Hey, yeah.
For both of them.
Now, Black Clover.
I know a little bit about Yuno. Of course, he's the side character because he's the literal rival.
Yes. Now, I'd actually like to mention something about him. His backstory. His backstory. He was an orphan.
Same as Asta.
And it makes him being a foil to Asta 100 times better. Because they come from similar roots.
They come from the same place, and yet they still became rivals. Which it was a little out of the blue, but it added some more interest to the story.
Yeah, and also, not to mention... He's pretty powerful.
His abilities of wind magic, and I heard he got a second grip more, but I'm not too familiar with the story, so I can't say anything about that. His wind ability and his ability to summon the wind spirit are pretty cool. He also uses them pretty interestingly in every battle. I like it.
Yeah, also, his character design is pretty good. His hair's good, clothes good. Yeah. I like him.
He fashions well. anyway.
Yeah, he's pretty solid of a character. I mean, I'm not going to rate him at anything above, like, A.
I think he should just stay A tier.
Yeah, that's what I say.
I kind of wish he was a little less strong, because having given the strongest thing and Asta being given... Well, at the start, he wasn't considered the strongest, but now he's got literal anti-magic power.
Yeah, actually, speaking of which, Black Clover and its powers, speaking of...
I don't like it.
Well, I like their powers, but I don't like the fact that Asta and Yuno are just... You know what? I'm going to give everyone else garbage, and then I'm just going to bless you guys up.
Yeah, that's basically how it goes. A lot of the enemies have super strong things, but it's probably not because they're Grimoires themselves. It's just because they have a lot of mana. Or mana, as they say.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mana.
Yeah, that I don't like that. Yeah, but that pretty much wraps up the podcast.
I say, yeah. So, Yuno was A tier, yeah?
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed. Have a great morning, afternoon, evening, midnight, wherever you are in the world. And have a great day.
See ya.
Goodbye.